This week's message is titled Suffering. The scripture reading is Philippians 1:27-30. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. As Don will mention in the video, we are planning to resume meeting together in person at the church building on July 12th, 2020. Please continue to pray for the congregation and the leadership as they figure out how the service will change. We'll continue to post new video messages. However, they're likely to change in format and they may be delayed by a week from the live service. We'll share more information as we have it. If you're planning to attend the in-person services and are able to help with ushering, greeting, hosting, sharing communion thoughts, extra cleaning, or any of these, please get in touch through Facebook, by phone, or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca/contact. You'll be able to find links in the video description.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today. I think this might be our second to last time that we'll be doing this because our congregation will be starting up again. At least that's our plan in July, around July the 12th. We'll be meeting back together as a congregation. And I want to say thank you to so many of you who've been watching us faithfully week after week after week. And of course, we couldn't do this without Adam Sandiford's help. He's set up everything for all of us and can't say thank you to him enough for everything he does for so many people all the time. So we're so grateful as a minister. I am benefited so greatly by him and others. And thank you to all for watching us today. I want to spend a little bit of time, and I think it's a timely, no pun intended, lesson dealing with the difficulties that people are facing, suffering with this pandemic. So if you have a Bible, you may want to turn to the book of 1 Peter is where I'm going to be sharing some thoughts today, because 1 Peter is a book that deals with suffering. And suffering is a big word. In today's environment, people are dealing with challenges, difficulties, sorrows, pain, anxiety, inconveniences, but they're not the same definition as suffering. Suffering is this deep, guttural, heartbreaking, intellectual, mental, emotional challenge of just taking one step at a time, moving forward with even a thought process that would be helpful. And the book of 1 Peter is dealing with Christians who are suffering real persecution. And obviously, 1 Peter is written by Peter himself. And Peter reminds us of some of the things that Jesus said about suffering and what Paul will say about suffering as well. So just let me share with you a couple of thoughts. Jesus said to his disciples that a time would be coming when anyone who kills you because you're a Christian will think that he is offering a service to God, which sounds like a really strange thing to be said. But when you think about the Apostle Paul, before he was called Paul, his name was Saul, and he thought he was doing a good thing by persecuting and killing Christians. He thought that was the way it should go. And when Christ entered his life, his whole life changed. His whole way of thinking changed. And I think he was able to embrace what Jesus taught in the book of Matthew. And these are his words. Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry, "Blessed are you when people insult you persecute you, and when people say all kinds of evil things against you because of me, Jesus. And then Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I'm not sure if anyone who is listening to this today has ever experienced that kind of persecution or that kind of suffering. I'm not sure that I know anyone who's ever had to deal with that kind of horrible persecution. And yet Jesus attaches the word, blessed are you if you suffer for my name. In chapter 5 and verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the book of Peter really highlights these verses and adds more strength and muscle to these verses about not being so burdened when suffering because of Christianity comes our way. And again, I'll say, I'm not sure that any of us have ever had to deal with suffering being a Christian the way Peter did and other people did. So in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, he highlights these words about suffering. He says, well, I'll start in verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. Then he says, verse 12, live such good lives among the, quotation, pagans, unbelievers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good works or good deeds, and they will glorify God on the day he visits us. A powerful passage that people who may create suffering will notice our example, and they themselves will quit criticizing. They themselves will become Christians. It's this blessedness of sometimes going through very difficult times. Also in 1 Peter in chapter 3, beginning around verse 14, he uses powerful words. These are his words. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So if you have time, going through the book of 1 Peter, I'd like you to notice that theme of suffering, how it's repeated over and over and over again. Paul understands suffering as well. In Philippians chapter 1 in verse 29, Paul added these words that sound maybe a little strange. For it has been granted to you, talking of Christians in Philippi, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for Christ. So we live in a world right now where this pandemic is rampant. And for many of us, it's troublesome, it's difficult, there are sorrows, relationships are breaking up because of all kinds of tension, and it's so difficult financially. People are burdened in great, great difficult ways. And yet, not making light of any of that, it's not quite the same as suffering for Christ, suffering because you believe in Christ. In fact, one of the benefits, if I might use these words, of dealing with this pandemic, even with all the inconveniences, all the difficulties, all the challenges, and the horrible illness that some people are dealing with, it's the example of hanging on to Jesus himself, understanding that Jesus suffered. And for anyone who's watching this or listening to this today, and you have COVID, you understand better than any of us the deep pain that you have physically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually. Just know the promises of Jesus. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And that no matter what is happening in our lives, particularly your life if you're suffering, is that Christ has shown us the way. He has shown us that suffering is an example for others, that we have faith even in our difficult times. So Peter is this man who really didn't understand Jesus from the beginning. In fact, it was Peter who severely criticized Jesus when Jesus told his disciples, here's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I am going to be killed. There was no way that Peter could handle such a thing. But then Jesus also reiterated, but I will be raised from the dead. And all throughout the New Testament, that is the lesson for all of us, that all of us in Christ Jesus will eventually die. We don't know at what time or day. We don't know at what hour. We're not sure how many years that we have left. One day we too will die. But because of Christ and because of our faith in him and because of the promises of Jesus, and Jesus has never reneged on any promise he has ever made, that because of our relationship with Christ, we too shall be raised with him. And so, yes, we go through difficult times, but one of the things that we can do in our challenging times is to be the example of faith, moving closer to Christ, even in our darkest hours. That's where we can feel his blessings so strongly. So for those of you who are dealing with this pandemic, not in a way that's been very helpful, you're feeling so burdened that in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, here's a suggestion. Go off somewhere in the house by yourself. Cozy yourself up with a blanket and know that Jesus is sitting right beside you. Talk to him. Show him how you're feeling. Know that he is right beside you and with you and in you, and you can share your sufferings with him. He understands sufferings. You can share your burdens with him. He understands burdens. You can share the difficulties and relationships that you may be having. Jesus understood people who abandoned him and walked away from him, even those who were closest to him. And later, when Christ was raised from the dead, he's reminding those who did this, those who walked away, that his arms are around them and he welcomes them back. And that as they come to Christ, we too can come to Christ, even in very difficult times. This is all 1 Peter. It's this theme that is a profound theme. So in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he talks about this suffering, and he says this: dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice rejoice as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory of God rests on you. If you suffer, It should not be as a murderer or a thief or a kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. And so that's why Paul said what he said to the church at Philippi. It has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Christ, but to suffer for him. So whoever's hearing this message today, wherever you're living, what's ever happening in your life, the suffering has not come to you as a punishment. The suffering is a reality of you're not alone. Christ is with you. And Christians who you don't know all over the world are praying. They're praying for your health and everyone's health, that we can endure these difficulties, even in the times of the COVID, looking forward to the day that we know all things will be well again. Whatever your week has been, give it to God. Thank you for listening and have a great time. Bye for now.
We're now going to have some time to spend in communion. The Apostle Paul writes a letter to the church in Philippi, and in chapter 1, verses 3 to verse 11, it's evident that Paul loves these folks. He's thankful for them, he's prayerful for them, and he's confident in them. Paul is writing from a prison cell, not knowing whether he is going to, what's going to happen next. Will he be released? Will he be tortured? Will he be put to death? He was living in tremendous uncertainty. Yet, he would not know that by reading this letter that he writes to his brothers and sisters in Philippi. Paul models for us an example of relating that relates to uncertainty, living with uncertainty. And we live with uncertainty today. Maybe it has something to do with the economy. Maybe it has something to do with racial issues, unrest, social restrictions like missing our family or missing time with our friends. Maybe we have some financial shortages due to unemployment and disappointment with the cancellation of important events like the meeting of the church or weddings or vacations, or the difficulty that some have in remembering those who have passed away. Paul's letter to Philippians can help. First of all, in chapter 4 and verse 4, he talks about rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Christ is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the God and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the next verse, in verse 8, he talks about the way that we should be thinking. And he says that there are certain things that we should be thinking about. We should be thinking positively about things that are true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. Well, how are we supposed to do this? Well, in verse 12, he says, learning to be content in all circumstances. And how does he do this? He does this because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, Jesus paid a price for all of us. In chapter 2 and verse 8, it talks about Christ humbled himself. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus has taught us how to live in uncertain times through Paul, his apostle, in the way that we think, the way that we look at things with a rejoicing heart, and the way that we develop contentment. And we do this through Christ Jesus. So let us partake of the bread, and we'll pray and then partake. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for this great grace that you have given to us through Jesus Christ. We are thankful for his broken body, for the sacrifice and the pain that was endured for our remission of sins. We partake now, and we pray your blessing on us as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, our Father, we are grateful to you for the blessing of Christ's blood, for that sacrifice, for the flowing of it on our behalf, washes away our sins. For this, we are grateful to you for this, and we pray, Father, that we might live lives that will be a sweet aroma to you as we try to be your hands and feet here in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're grateful, our Heavenly Father, for your wisdom and strength that's found in Scriptures that can help us to be informed about how to live in our lives today. We pray, Father, for open doors that your word might go forth. And we pray this week as we try to be your servants that we can be the people that you want us to be in the community where we live. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us again this week. Thank you to Ed and Don for sharing their thoughts. If you'd like to see more videos or hear more messages, you can visit us at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. As we move into the first stages of reopening, please pray for the leaders and the congregation. Let's close today with these words from Romans. I am absolutely sure that not even death or life can separate us from God's love. Not even angels or demons, the present or the future, or any powers can separate us. Not even the highest places or the lowest or anything else in all creation can separate us. Nothing at all can ever separate us from God's love. That's because of what Christ Jesus, our Lord, has done. Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. May He give you the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had. Then you can give glory to God with one mind and voice. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the God who gives hope fill you with great joy. May you have perfect peace as you trust in Him. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill you with hope. How very rich are God's wisdom and knowledge. How He judges is more than we can understand. The way He deals with people is more than we can know. Who can ever know what the Lord is thinking? Or who can ever give Him advice? Has anyone ever given anything to God so that God has had to pay them back? All things come from Him. All things are directed by Him. All things are for His praise. May God be given the glory forever. Amen.